Hi, welcome to WebCamps TV. I'm your host, Brady Gaster, and today with us we have Syed Hashimi. He is a program manager on the Visual Studio web team, and he's got all kinds of tips and tricks to show us about deploying your web applications up to your web server or to other places. And I'll let him kind of go through a couple of examples, show us some cool stuff, and let him get started.
Right. So today I want to show you guys a little bit of some features that we're actually working on for the next version of Visual Studio 11. So most of the things that I'm going to show you don't actually exist in the builds that are out there today. So we've actually, one of the very difficult aspects of publishing web projects is publishing a database with it as well. So back in Visual Studio 2010, we did have some support for publishing databases, and you could see that support in the package publish SQL tab of the properties pages. But you know, it had some shortcomings, and one of the big problems with the implementation that we had back then was the fact that the database publishing is not incremental. So what that means is when you publish your database the first time, everything goes great. It creates all your objects, but then every subsequent database publish, it would essentially fail unless you had a drop and recreate flag set to it. You know, since then we've learned that, hey, that's not the right way to do it. So we've actually created some solutions where now we do have an incremental publish experience for both web and database.
Nice. I think that's something that Scott Hunter talked about in his show. Something with EF migrations. Is that kind of what you're referring to in this new iteration?
Yeah, we actually have two flavors. One is with the EF code first migrations, and then the other is with the normal database publishing. So even if you're not using the code first migrations, you can still get an incremental database publishing experience.
So a couple of different options to choose from there.
Yeah, exactly. And it, you know, kind of it depends on what your project is using. So one of the goals that we had when we set out to create these features was to ensure that you didn't have to go through a bunch of hoops in order to enable any of these new features.
Nice.
So we'll take your project as is, right?
Cool. Yeah. Let's get started and see how
okay,
it works.
Okay, cool. All right, so I've got a demo application here that uses EF code first. So I've got a sample model that I've opened up. This is kind of inspired by the Nerd Dinner. It's actually a very trimmed down version of Nerd Dinner, which I actually took this off of Scott Gu's blog. So that's what this is. So let me show you guys. I've showed you the EF code first model that I have here. What I'll do now is go ahead and add migrations to this. So I'll open up NuGet. I'll say enable migrations. And then this will actually enable code first migrations. But then after that, I'll actually have to go ahead and add my first migration, execute it on my local database, and then go from there. So I'll do add migration. Okay, initial. So this will go ahead and look at my database, and then it actually adds a class here that has an up method and a down method. The up method represents all the database operations that it will take to bring from the previous state to this new state. The previous state was empty, so that's why we see a couple of create tables here. And then inside the down method, we can see we've got some drop operations being performed. Okay, so I've created it. Let me go ahead and update my local database.
And you just generated all that, is that right? Or is that something you had previously typed?
No, that was all generated by these commands.
Fantastic.
And then what I'll show after I publish out the first one is modifying the code first model, generating a new migration, and then what is the experience to get that onto my web server. Okay, so I've created the migrations, updated my local database, and let me just go ahead and run my app just to make sure that it works one time. Okay, so this app will just show a summary of the dinners which exist, and then allow me to add any additional dinners. So let me go ahead and add one. So let me just create a sample. So
because this is a brand new database, there's nothing in there.
Exactly.
Right.
Cool. Yeah. Okay, let me just type in one here. All right, so Brady is creating a dinner for 12. Mm-hmm. So I've created the dinner, and now what I'll do is I'll go ahead and publish this. So let me right-click on the web project and say publish. And then here we can see an entirely new web publishing experience. If you've used Visual Studio 2010, you'll definitely see that, hey, this looks like a very different experience than what I've found before. One of the other enhancements that we've made is we now support importing a published settings file. So we've partnered with hosters, and they will generate a published settings file. Either they will actually email you these files, or you can download them from their website. Not every hoster out there is doing this, but if you're working with a hoster that doesn't support this, you know, definitely send them an email saying, hey, I'm interested in having my published settings file. That way I don't have to remember all the settings. So I've just imported a published settings file, which I created previously. These files are just XML files. they're just key value pairs, really. So this particular published settings file is just pointing back to another server that I have here on the corporate network. We can see that it specified all my web deploy parameters, and now I don't have to know what those values are. I can simply import the settings and then go from there. I'm just going to copy the URL. Let me go ahead and provide my password. Yeah, don't look, Brady. All right, so I'll go ahead and give the password and then say validate connection. So now it's reaching out to the web server, checking the settings, making sure that everything works. So we're good. And now I just switched over to the settings tab. So there's a couple things of interest here. We can see now we've got the configuration as a drop down right on the publish dialog. One of the pieces of feedback that we heard regarding Visual Studio 2010 was that users would open the publish dialog and then realize that they were still in debug mode, so they'd have to close the dialog and then go ahead and switch. So we brought the build configuration onto the dialog itself.
And if they were to create their own custom build configurations, that'll all
they would
right
all show
there.
Up. Nice. Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Good to hear.
And another thing that we've done is now we can see the databases showing up. So for Code First, what we do is we actually look through your project and any reference project for an object which extends DB context, which is the that's how you create these code first contexts, and then we'll show those on this dialog. And then if you have an associated connection string inside webconfig, we'll make that connection together and then make sure that it gets updated. So let me go ahead and pull down this dropdown. So in the dropdown, we can see that I've got my connection string. This connection string actually comes from a number of different places, for the source of the dropdown, that is. Mm-hmm. The first place is the published settings file, which I've imported. It can have one or many connection strings inside of it. And the other place that we look at is any other published profile which you've already defined. So kind of the scenario that we were thinking about there is you've got a single database, but you've got more than one website that you're actually publishing to. So, you know, for example, I might have three web servers that are all sharing the same database. So in that case, I'll want to create multiple profiles that still leverage the same connection string. And we also look at any database that you have connected to in the data source in the Server Explorer, okay, data connections node, which is not SQL Express or LocalDB.
Mm-hmm. Does it read from webconfig at all as well?
We read from webconfig to populate this dialog.
Okay, cool, awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Better. Cool.
Yep. Okay, so now we can see I've given my new connection string, and now I've got my apply code first migrations here. So what that'll do is it'll update the connection string that's inside webconfig, and it will also enable my code first migrations to be executed the first time that I access the DB context.
Wow.
So I've switched over to the preview tab. So I'll go ahead and perform a file preview. And you can see there's a bunch of messages going on in the back. The reason why all the messages start showing up in the back is because this dialog really is just driving MS Build. So everything that you see in the dialog can actually be automated And I'll show you guys that too, the file and everything.
Like on a build server. Like I could do the same thing using some sort of a build server process.
Yeah, right.
Cool.
Or just a command line.
Nice. Right? Even better.
Yep. Okay. So here we can see now I've got my full set of files here, and it shows me the operation as add. That's because I haven't published out to this server before. And now I can see my Nerd Dinner's database showing up. So previously you saw that I did copy out the URL, so I'll just go ahead and visit that location just to make sure that there's nothing there. That way there's no magic here. Let me go ahead and perform a publish. So what this is doing, it's actually now using WebDeploy to basically publish out all your content. And then the first time that I hit it, I'll go ahead and access my CodeForest database, my CodeForest context, which will kick off the migrations. So there's two ways that you can configure migrations to be invoked. One is you can actually do that within your code, and the other is you can do it from webconfig. So that's what I've done here, is I've actually, the publish dialog has configured it inside webconfig. So now you don't have to worry about doing it inside your own code or remembering all the initialization stuff that goes into webconfig. We'll just take care of it automatically. Let me go ahead and generate a new dinner here. And we'll just make it for 4:13, that way it doesn't conflict with Brady's. And we'll say that I'm creating this one, so you know there'll be a lot more people there. Okay, so I've got food dinner here.
Nice.
And okay, so you know I think web publishing, including a database, doesn't get a whole lot easier than this.
No.
You know, and then I'll show you how can I take the same thing that doesn't have migrations, right? Because we'll have a similar story there. But now I've created an entry in my database. So what I'll do is let me go back to my source project, make a change to the model, and then let's see how does that flow through. And then let's make sure that that none of my data actually gets deleted, because that's pretty much what we want. So let me go back to my model. So I've got my dinner model here. So now I've added a number of stars field as well. So let me update my views in order to leverage this.
So the people can grade you on your cooking ability.
Yeah, exactly, kind of right.
Yeah, nice.
Exactly. You know, I don't want to go to any dinners that only have one star.
Right.
You know, I'm really only looking for the five star. Okay, so let me go here and number of dinners. Let me just uncomment this. So now create. I've got the snippet here for that as well.
But the nice thing is you didn't have to give a DBA any SQL. You didn't have to log into your SQL database, run the script, test the script, blah, blah, blah. It just worked magically.
Yeah, like exactly.
Not only with the site, but you actually published a database as well. Brand new database.
Right. Yeah, so the really cool part about EF CodeForest migrations is your entire schema is going to live within your project and also travel with your project. So that's a really big added benefit.
That's huge.
So now I've just modified my model, so I'll go ahead and create a new migration. Okay, so I'll just create a number of stars migration. And then it opens up the migration in the background. We can see that it adds the number of stars column to the dinners table. And then inside the down method, it will just go ahead and remove that. Okay, so let me open up. Oops, went to the wrong one. Let me go ahead and update my local database. And then I'll create a new dinner here and then set the number of stars. And then we'll go ahead and publish it out and then try to do the same thing on the remote machine. Okay. All right, so now we can see the number of stars of 0 is showing up because there was no value for that entry. Okay, so we'll say new dinner, some address, we'll say Chris. Okay, we'll give 3 stars here. Okay, so now we can see number of stars.
Nice.
Okay, cool. All right, so let's see what is the pain that I'm going to go through when I publish this. So I'm just going to right-click and say publish. I'll do a file preview. So this will connect to the server. It sees that I've changed the index and create.cshtml. The demo dinner assembly will get updated. And then webconfig pretty much always shows up because we actually parameterize these, so we're not sure if there needs to be an update or not.
Right.
But webdeploy will figure that out. Okay, so let me go ahead and do a publish, and we can see my publish is happening. It's already done. And now we go back to the live site. It's accessing the context for the first time and kicking off the migrations. We can see now I've got my field showing up as zero. Let me create a new dinner.
Because it didn't just drop the database that you already created.
Right.
It like maintained all that data.
Yes.
Now we're just going to add more to
right.
it.
Right, yep.
Fantastic.
Yep. Okay, so Scott Hunter is going to host a dinner. We'll give him 5 stars.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, so new dinner two with 5 stars.
Fantastic.
And I didn't have to worry about, you know, setting up my code first migrations to get executed, my files, and my database got published.
And you really only did it in one tool.
That's it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yep.
Awesome.
That is right, sir.
Fantastic.
Yep.
I love it. I love it.
I think this is, you know, I really am a big fan of code first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the only kind of disappointing thing before was, you know, lack of a really good publishing story.
Mm-hmm.
But now I think now that they've got the migrations and now that we've added first-class support for migrations directly inside the web publish dialog,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think that we are landing in a very good place.
I would completely agree with that. Do you have anything else you want to show us?
Yes. What I want to show now is, you know, how can I take an existing app which uses a normal database which is configured inside webconfig, and then what does it take to actually publish that?
So that's when you've got a database first situation, right? You've already got a database mm-hmm. that you want to talk to.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. So that's a scenario where you may or may not be using Entity Framework. You might be using in Hibernate or Linked to SQL or whatever else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fact is we're not sure what you're using. All we know is you've got a connection string inside webconfig.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here in this particular example, the project uses EF. And I've got 2 connection strings. We can see one is a normal, you know, a normal connection string that shows up. And then the other one is an EF connection string. So the difficulty of the EF connection string is, you know, they've got all this configuration stuff in the beginning and then some in the end. But then the actual connection string to the database is embedded within it.
Hmm.
So I don't know about, you know, the audience that's out there, but you know, whenever I've been deploying web projects that use EF, this has always been a sore point for me, is how can I update this connection string that lives within inside another connection string? So I'll show you guys what, you know, what are we actually doing to try to help solve this problem as well. Let me just run this app, make sure that it works, and then what I'll do is go ahead and show you guys what is the story to actually publish this out. Okay, so this is kind of a simple Contoso U project. I can add students, I can add courses, so on and so forth. So let me go ahead and drop that. Let me go ahead and close it out. And let me open up, just go ahead and right-click and say publish again. And let me import another publish settings file. We'll go ahead and pick the Contoso U. So say open, I'll give my password. Okay, save password, and then I'll do a validate connection. All right, so it's great. And then go to the settings tab, and now we can see 2 database entries are showing up, and there was no additional configuration you know, that I did prior to this. All I did was really open up the publish dialog, and the publish dialog will inspect your webconfig and then start showing those entries up on the dialog itself. So
right.
Here I've got 2 entries for connection strings in my web config, so I see 2 entries here.
Right.
Okay, let me go ahead and pick my connection string. So this is pointing to Syed Ha HP2 Contoso U. Before I actually do the publish, I will show you guys that that database doesn't exist or it's empty, one of the two. So I checked update database. So that will actually trigger the incremental database publishing. The reason why it's not checked by default is, you know, because there could be some scenarios where you want your web config to get updated with the new connection string, but you've got a different process to actually publish out your database.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that. And then on the membership one, let me go ahead and pick this database as well. For this one, I don't actually have to check update database because these two connection strings are pointing to the same database. Even if you did actually check that, it would be a no-op, so it wouldn't be a problem. Let me do a, I'm going to go ahead and kick off a database preview. But while that's going on, let me open up my other Visual Studio and connect to that database server and show you guys that the Contoso U database doesn't actually exist. Okay?
So no smoke and mirrors.
Not yet. Yeah, I figured I would leave that for, you know, the second video.
Nice.
Right, yeah, exactly. Nice. Okay, so now... Okay, looks like my... Okay, all right, there we go. All right, so we can blame that on network problems. All right, so... HP2. Okay, cool. All right, so I just opened up my database server. There's the demo dinner, which I published previously, and there's no Contoso U. So let me go back. We've actually partnered with the SQL group to create a web deploy provider. So all the SQL that gets generated is actually getting generated through their tools, and it's the same. Essentially the same mechanism that's used with their schema compare features that live in Visual Studio 11, and also they have it for Visual Studio 2010.
Nice.
So here we can see now I've got a bunch of create tables. That's because, you know, the database doesn't exist, so we'll go ahead and create all the tables. And then even at the top we can see that it actually will create the database because it doesn't exist. So if I go here, I can actually see that create database is going to be issued as well.
Big time server.
Oh yeah, for sure, no doubt. Let me go ahead and publish this out. While this is publishing, you know, I have to say that I was working with my tech writing team. They asked me, they said, hey, how can we take existing technologies that are already out there and do, you know, web and incremental DB? You know, and you know, you're definitely able to do it, but it's very difficult. You know, for example, you know, I'm kind of an expert in MS Build and Web Deploy, and I'm very comfortable with databases and all that sort of stuff. But you know, even for me, it took me, you know, several hours to create a script which they can go and write their content. You know, so if it takes me several hours to do it, I can only imagine, you know, how difficult it is for people who are not, you know, well-versed in these technologies, because there really is a lot that's going on here. So I just published out my web project and my database. So let me go back and look to see that the database actually was created. So I'll go ahead and do a refresh. Now I can see Contoso U starts showing up, and here's all my tables. To kind of give an explanation of what this actually does, what we do is we look at your web config, we get the connection string, we'll connect to your source database and then generate what's known as a DAC pack. And this is a newer version of the DAC packs which existed before, in case you were familiar with them. We take the DAC pack and then we actually hand that off to the remote web deploy provider. And then the remote web deploy provider will take the DAC pack, which is a full representation of your database, and then compare it to your target, and then execute whatever changes exist there. So the good thing about using Web Deploy is you can still, if you have scenarios where your web server, where your database server is not exposed to the internet, but your web server is, you can still publish. That's why we reach to the remote server there.
So most of the magic actually lives on the web server. It can then go back to the database server and do what it needs to do.
Exactly, right. Fantastic. You don't have to have a direct connection to your database from your local machine.
Excellent.
So now what I'll do is I'll go ahead and change the source database to add a couple, maybe I'll add a table and a couple columns to an existing table. And we can see what is the experience like there. Okay, so we're dealing with the Contoso U. So inside the applications table, I'll do view designer. Yeah, this is network problems too. Yeah, of course, right? Yep, for sure. Okay, all right, so the design surface is loading. Okay, all right, so let me type in a new column. And then I'll say, we'll say it's money. Actually, you know what, I don't know what version. Well, let's try it out. I never actually hope money exists on the database that I'm actually publishing to. I don't know if it does, but we'll find out. Okay. Forest name, and I'll give it a varchar 50. Last name.
So you're adding tables and fields to an existing database that's local.
That's right.
Just for you to get ready to publish it again.
Exactly.
Cool.
Yep. I've got some validation errors, it looks like. Okay, let me go back. I don't know why I'm getting a validation error, but let me go back and change this. I don't think this has anything to do with it. But... Wow, it's actually kind of interesting. Okay, I'm getting validation errors for something that was already existing. Okay, has unresolved reference to DBO person. Oh, you know what I think it was? Is that I mistyped this, basically. Okay, so that was a user error. Let me try it again. Huh. Okay. Maybe I should not call it person then. Let's try it. So this is, you know, these issues are not publish related.
Yeah.
All right, let's call person table then. Okay, all right. Update cannot proceed. Oh, one or more primary keys. Oh, that's no good. Okay. Here we go. PK person. You know what? I'm just going to go ahead and get rid of that.
It's fine.
It's not really important, anyways.
Yeah. There we go.
All right. Okay, cool. I'm not really sure what happened there, but that's fine. All right. So now I've updated my local database. Let me close out of this. Close out of that. And go back to my Contoso U. And then we'll perform another publish. Let me just do preview database. So this is where we're generating the DAC pack, sending it to your remote server, and then getting a result. Okay. So now we can see that I've got an alter table to add my new column, and then my create table for the new table which I've just created. So I didn't have to... You know, I didn't have to worry about, you know, editing some SQL file that says if this doesn't exist, then go ahead and create it, you know, which is kind of what I did before.
Or an error log.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yep. So let me go ahead and publish it out, and then we'll see that the results start showing up at my on my destination. Okay, so it's actually publishing, and it's done now because we launched the URL when the publish succeeds. So let me go back to my SQL server here. This is my local. Let me touch base with my remote. I'll say refresh. So I'm expecting a new column in applications. All right, new column.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can see my person table, which is the one that I just created. So it was kind of you know, complaining because there's already a person table there.
Mm-hmm. Yep. A little fat fingering, no big deal.
Right.
Right.
Yeah,
right. Yeah.
Exactly. Yep. So that's pretty much that. I mean, if you've done this before, this is very difficult. And now, you know, we're solving a problem that's very difficult in just a couple mouse clicks, really. So I think that is really awesome. And, you know, this is very easy to automate from the command line as well. And the reason why is because we actually store all your published profiles as a part of the project, and they are MS build files. So in Visual Studio 2010, we stored all the published profiles in an XML file that was only designed to be stored on that particular user's machine. So they were not team friendly and not checked in, and also not leveraged by the command line. But we have solve that problem in this version. So we can see that this is an MS build file.
Mm-hmm.
MS build is a technology that a lot of developers are familiar with, and then even if you're actually customizing your build process, you're already familiar with it. So that's why we chose MS build, and it's also very good for tooling. But the other really cool part about this is you can actually extend the publishing process directly inside this file. So if you wanted to, you know, perform an action before or after your publish, you can actually make some modifications here. So for example, let's say you've got a website that you publish to your QA servers, and then you have a user acceptance testing environment as well. So maybe for the QA servers, you'll go ahead and send your application as it is, but then for the UAT and production environments, you might be minifying and compressing CSS and JavaScript. So you can do those changes inside these pub.xml files directly, and then the publish dialog will run all that logic as well. Yep. And through the command line and, you know, nice. Team build and any CI servers, yeah.
Nice. So I can use cruise control or TFS build or anything like that.
Yeah,
just drive
exactly
it along.
Right.
Awesome.
Yep.
Awesome.
Any CI server that invokes MS build.
Fantastic.
Which is pretty much all of them.
Awesome. Well, I love this. One of the things you said earlier was that some of these features aren't out yet. They're not out in the beta release. Any idea when developers can start to use these things and be more efficient and whatnot?
Yeah, you know, that's a great topic. The best that I can say is that it will be out with the next version of Visual Studio 11.
Cool.
But one thing that I actually should have highlighted before is, you know, I'm showing you guys all this goodness on Visual Studio 11, but we're actually bringing all this functionality back to Visual Studio 2010. So what we've done is we've created an extensibility point in Visual Studio 2010. We actually created it. We have to service Visual Studio 2010 for this. But once that extensibility hook is there, you can install this update, and then you'll get this new experience.
Excellent.
And we are planning on, you know, revving this on a very regular basis.
Awesome.
Right.
Awesome. Yep. And don't be confused. All the migration stuff and all the EF stuff you can still get today. That's all in NuGet, so you can pull that down and do whatever you want. But I'm pretty excited. I can't wait to make this easier. This is going to be great.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think we're definitely adding a lot of value, making, you know, we're removing a lot of pain which exists today.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And keeping it all in the IDE where we like to be.
That's it. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, one, we've got, you know, from the IDE, and then we also kind of cater to, you know, people who are automating things as well. So I think we're trying to cover a broad spectrum.
Awesome. Well, thanks a lot for your time today. I appreciate
Sweet.
It. And
thank you.
Can't wait to get my hands on it.
All right.
Thanks, man.
Awesome.
Take
thanks.
Care.